Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Special guest is our very good friend, a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, but more importantly, the president of Business Book Press. He's an outstanding small business consultant. He is an expert in the field of buying and selling businesses. He's a professional business broker. His name is Russ Brown, and as I think I mentioned earlier, he's our friend. Russ, welcome back to the show.
Jim, good morning, and thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you with us. Russ, stand by for a second. Before we get into our discussion about buying steps to buying a business, I wanted to ask my producer, James Pearson, a question. James, can you join us for a second here?
Sure thing, Jim.
James, do you remember, I've been scratching my head this morning, do you remember who won the NCAA basketball, Division I basketball? do you remember who won that? Was that UNLV or was it Duke? Who was it that won that? Do you remember?
You put me on the spot, Jim.
Russ, can you help us out here, Russ?
Everybody in the country must know that the University of Connecticut, my University of Connecticut, won the NCAA championship.
UConn. Was it UConn?
UConn for the
first
time.
I thought that was that Alaska team. Was that not that Alaska team?
No.
James, didn't you think that UConn was the Alaska team?
Well, the way they iced Duke, you might have thought so.
Oh, I had to kid him a little bit, folks. He's been so obnoxious. What has it been, 2 weeks now or a week and a half or so?
2 weeks.
He's been so obnoxious about this University of Connecticut winning the Division I basketball thing. Golly. You'd think it was the greatest thing in the world, wouldn't you?
Well, for us in Connecticut, it is. We've never even been to a Final Four before.
I'm teasing you. I'll tell you what, you did something for me, though. I really don't watch basketball very much. I'm not a big basketball fan, and I admit it. I've tried hard, but I can't seem to get into it. But since you since you made such a big deal out of it, I actually watched the game. I actually watched them in a couple of games, and you're right, they did good.
Yep.
They represented your state very well. Anyway, I just had to have a little fun with you there, Russ.
Thank you, Jim.
You know, you can always count on your friends, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Russ, we've been talking about steps for buying a business. And I know that one of the things I wanted to do, I know we've gone down the list here a pretty good bit, we've talked about how to make a decision first before you decide to start a new business, to make a decision to buy an existing business, and then we've talked about assessing your capabilities and on and on. One of the things that we've talked about that I just want to touch on a little bit more is entering into a confidentiality agreement with the business owner so that more detailed information can be exchanged. That was one of your points that you make. And would you review that again for just a little bit for us?
Well, sure. When you're getting serious about buying a business, you know, you pass the preliminaries, you're now talking seriously with a business owner, you're going to need to see some very detailed information about that business, a lot of financial information, a lot of legal information, you know, the entire guts and working of that business. You need to look at that. And before anyone's going to turn that over to you, you certainly have to sign a confidentiality agreement where you agree not to disclose any of the information that you're reviewing, anything that's provided to you. And you also have to agree to not even disclose the businesses for sale or any of the sale price or any of the terms and conditions of that sale.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is really important, because most businesses being sold, these owners don't want it known to the general public, to their customers,
their employees,
to their suppliers, to their employees, right, that the business is for sale. And there's a lot of reasons for that.
This is the trickiest part of the whole transaction, I think, Russ, because once it gets beyond this, everyone basically, whether the transaction happens or not, everyone basically is in agreement to move forward and to collect other information. One side has decided to sell, the other side has decided to buy, if the deal can be struck. But at this juncture, at the confidentiality document juncture, this is when the seller typically is the one that is the most nervous about this, and they're really, this is when, if you're the buyer, if you're proposing to buy this business, especially, as I said, if you are the one that's making the pitch and they haven't really approached you about selling their business, and especially if they haven't actually put their business on the market and you've approached them to sell it. Russ, this is a very ticklish and very touchy issue, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It certainly is, and with good reason, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to need to enter into this agreement with them. Of course, there's a quid pro quo here. You're going to sign this agreement to agree not to disclose any of this information, and that's going to protect the business seller. But you're also going to have to provide information about yourself at the same time. Usually, at the exchange of the confidentiality agreement where you get the information about the business, that's a time you would also give the business owner very detailed financial information and other information about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to show that owner of the business that you have the financial wherewithal to purchase the business if you decide to go forward, and also that you've got the business capability and expertise in the field of that business to make a go of it, because most likely there's going to be financing held by the business seller in the transaction. You know, 80-plus percent of all small business sales involve financing by the owner. So you're going to need to turn this over. So this is a good point, right at the time you sign that confidentiality agreement.
Right. Russ, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I've got a couple of three more things I want to mention on this confidentiality agreement. I want to ask Russ a couple more questions and have another statement or two I want to make. And then we're going to get into, I want him to talk a little bit more about the non-binding letter of intent. That's a very important stage as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 20 after. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russell Brown is our special guest. He's our good friend and member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He's the author of several reports, folks, that you can find on his website, which he's going to tell you about in just a minute. But he's also the author of two very outstanding books that we've discussed on the show before. One of them is called Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, and the other one is called Preparing Your Business for Sale. And they're similar subjects, but they're different books. They're for different purposes. And Russ, tell our audience how they can get your books.
Well, you can go to any good bookstore and get them. A lot of the bigger bookstores carry them in stocks. Most bookstores, you may have to ask them to order them for you. You can also get them online at my website, www.businessbookpress.com. And, of course, you can always go to Amazon if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you want to visit a library and check one out, you can do that as well.
Right. All right, good. They're available in libraries. I'm glad to know that. Thank you for that, Russ. Let's get back into our discussion of the confidentiality agreement. This is a very significant point in the process of buying and selling a business. One of the things that I like to recommend is that very early in the discussion, let's say you have approached a person, you heard Russ and Jim talk about looking around town and finding a business that you think might be a prospect to sell. You've heard us say some of the things that we've talked about, what we mentioned about the importance of buying a business that's already in business, that's already got customers, already got a location and phone number and a sign and a brand name and all that. You've heard us talk about all that. And so now you picked one out. You say, okay, that's the company that Jim and Russ described on the radio show, and I'm going to go over there and talk to that guy. I'm going to find out about him and see if he's interested in selling his business. One of the things, Russ, that I recommend is that if you don't have a confidentiality agreement in that early discussion, you at least let the person know as early as you can that, and all you have to do is say, if you should agree to move forward in discussions with me, I want you to know that I'm prepared to sign a confidentiality agreement.
That would be an excellent move. And
you don't have to have the document with you, do you? You don't have to ask him to or her to, although that would be expected, but let them know early on, right?
That's an excellent move, because that would certainly show that the seller that they have, that they can begin talking with you, that you're serious, that you understand the importance of maintaining confidentiality.
Right.
And I think that would really help a lot to moving those discussions forward.
It demonstrates a level of sophistication that I'm sure they would like to see.
That's right. And by the way, in my book, Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, I do include a confidentiality agreement form just for those purposes.
Yes, thank you for reminding me about that, Russ. It's a very good one, folks. But there are as many confidentiality agreements out there as there are people out there. I mean, there are a lot of them.
Sure.
And really,
what you really just want to say is that if we can enter into discussions and begin talking about your business being for sale, I agree not to tell anyone that we're talking about it. I agree not to disclose any of the information that you may give to me in regards to buying the business. And that level of agreement should be enough, give enough confidence to the seller to be able to move forward to help see if there's common ground for you to buy that business.
Another thing that you might want to do is when you say, I am prepared to sign a confidentiality agreement, as we said, it's understood that both of you will sign that. You don't have to say, I want you to sign it too, because that's understood. But the other thing is you might want to say, I will be glad to provide one, or I'll be glad to sign yours.
Mm-hmm.
Because he or she might rather have their own document, have their attorney produce one just for them, right?
That's right. And, you know, the confidentiality agreement cuts both ways as well. Now, we had talked about a buyer providing confidential financial information about themselves. You know, there's also another situation here. I really advocate that one great way of growing your business is to either buy a competitor or buy a similar kind of company mm-hmm. that you can fold into your existing company
yep.
that takes advantage of the infrastructure, that company infrastructure that you already have.
Mm-hmm.
This is a super way of growing your business, and not enough small businesses look into this.
That's exactly right, and there's no question about it. And I've got another point I want to ask you about on that when we come back, and I've got one last thing that I want to say about confidentiality agreements when we come back, and then we're going to move over into the letter of intent stage. I've got a couple more things I want you to answer for us on that one, Russ, as well. 888-822-8255. Stay with us, folks. Welcome back, Heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russell Brown is our special guest. Russell is our good friend. He's been with us many times before. He's the author of Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, which received, by the way, a recommendation by Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. That's high praise, Russ. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And don't forget that the North American Book Dealers Exchange also voted it the best business book of the year for last year.
I forgot about that. Congratulations. That came up, in October or so, something like that?
Yeah, it was late in the year, yes.
Yeah, congratulations. That's, folks, like as I've said before, we don't have chopped liver on this show, only the best for my audience. And also his other book called Preparing Your Business for Sale, which is a book that's all about getting your business ready to sell, which might happen in 10 years, it might happen in 5 years, but you need to start looking at that before, you know, more than just 90 days from when you're planning on selling the business. That's one of the ways that people get into a bind. And, Russ, we'll talk about that. I want to talk about that more at another time. But what I want to do now is I want to bring up one more thing about the confidentiality agreement. And, folks, I know you probably think, well, you know, I didn't realize there's so much involved in the confidentiality agreement, but this is more than just a document, isn't it, Russ? There's a real strategy pivot point here, isn't there?
Right. You're trying to establish a relationship between yourself and the seller that you're going to use as a basis to move forward on. That's the basis of trust and shared information, so that you can both make informed decisions as you go forward in this transaction.
Don't be surprised, Russ, see if you agree with me on this. Don't be surprised if the person that you're proposing to buy their business has never even heard of or seen a confidentiality agreement.
Right.
Would you agree with me on that?
Sure, right, because most business sellers sell their business once. And
they've only owned one. They never bought one.
Right.
They started this one from scratch.
Yep. So everything's going to be new to them. They're going to be antsy. They're going to be nervous. So you have to do everything you can initially to make sure that you alleviate that nervousness and get them to a position where they can talk to you.
And be careful that you want to come across professional enough, don't you, Russ, so that so that they'll believe that you have the savvy to make this thing happen if they decide to go ahead with you. But you don't want to come across so slick that you intimidate them.
That's right. And also, you have to pick the way you approach the business owner. I mean, you can't just walk in there in the middle of the business day and say, who's the business owner, or walk up to the person if you know them and say, gee, I want to talk to you about buying your business.
And right.
That's probably not the coolest way to move.
Right.
I always recommend that you pen a letter. You know, put a letter together addressed to the business owner, and you put in there, you know, be honest and say that you're very interested in discussing the possibility of them selling their business, and that you would be willing to enter into a confidentiality agreement where you wouldn't disclose anything about what you talk about if they would even just begin to talk with you about it. And I think that's a good way to open the door and get the discussions going if that business owner is interested in perhaps discussing the sale of the business.
Some other thoughts on that is, if you know the person at all, invite them to lunch.
See
if they go to lunch, because you know, some people, you know, a letter's fine. A letter's an excellent idea, but everyone isn't good at writing letters. Maybe they'd just rather say it out of their mouth, and so invite them to lunch. Another thing, Russ, and I know you've used this, I'm sure you've used this before, and that's to use an intermediary, someone who is a mutual friend. To ask them to find out if you know that there's someone that is close enough to them. You have to be careful about that, because then you're involving another person. But I have seen that happen before, and it can work.
Oh, absolutely. You know, a lot of small businesses are sold through that networking that you do through your fraternal organizations and your social contacts, and of course your church as well. I mean, everybody is involved in one way or another in some of these organized units, and that's where you probably have either a mutual friend or mutual acquaintance, or you actually know somebody, and that's many, many business sales are initiated through those kinds of contacts.
And one of the things, if you're concerned that, and you should be concerned, that the person that is going to be the intermediary, the seller may not even want them to know very much about it. Maybe all the intermediary does is just introduce you. That's all you say is, I'd like to meet Carol Smith, who owns that business, and I know you know her. Would you mind introducing us one day or something like that? It could be as simple as that. Russ, there's one more thing, though, that I want to mention on the confidentiality agreement. When you offer someone a confidentiality agreement, to sign a confidentiality agreement, you need to be prepared to let them know that you know that this extends to the people inside of your decision-making circle, which includes your attorney, your accountant, your spouse, any advisors that you are going to need to operate, to conduct this transaction. You've got to let them know that you know that your confidentiality agreement has got to include those people, right?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on to a letter of intent. I want to get Russ to talk to us some more about the letter of intent, which is one of the next steps in buying a business. It's very important. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russell Brown is our special guest. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a question or a comment you'd like to join me and our special guest, Russell Brown, our good friend, Russ Brown, the author of two outstanding books, Buying or Selling a Business, and actually Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, and the other one is Preparing Your Business for Sale. Russell, would you take a half a minute and tell our audience what the Business Book Press does? That's your company.
Well, it's actually called RDS Associates, Inc., and one of our subsidiary groups is the Business Book Press.
Okay.
And what we do is publish business-oriented books related to buying, selling, starting, or improving a business. And it's obviously published a couple of my books, and it's published other people's books and articles and reports as well. So in addition to doing my own things, if anyone has a business book that they've written or have in mind, like to have published, they give me a call, and we're glad to discuss it with them.
Okay. Thank you, Russ. I appreciate you telling us that. Let's move into the non-binding letter of intent. Tell us, just give us the explanation for that. Why do you need a letter of intent?
Okay, just let me, you know, one thing we didn't touch on in the previous discussion that just occurred to me that's super important, and I can't believe I've overlooked it in our discussion. But, you know, in all of that we're talking about here, the confidentiality agreement, and as we get into this letter of intent situation and finding a business for sale and all that, keep in mind, I mean, it sounds kind of obvious, but we want to repeat it. There are business brokers out there who provide very, very valuable services mm-hmm. in all of these areas. Finding the business that you're interested in buying, finding it for you, helping you enter into these confidentiality agreements, and also in this letter of intent, which we were just about to talk about.
Right.
So don't overlook that. You know, we're talking about finding a business for sale and approaching the owner in that. That's if you're comfortable doing that on your own, if you have a common acquaintance or if you know the person. That's all well and good if you don't use a business broker there. But most folks are going to use a business broker. And we have some excellent ones. We have their names on my website. That you convert to, I think most every state is covered,
mm-hmm.
and so that's a don't overlook that resource.
Thank you for reminding us about that, Russ. That's a very important point. Of course, we have mentioned that in your visits before. How do you, along those lines, what do you think about people who the first thing that they think of is to go get their lawyer to go make the approach for them and help them cut the deal?
No, I don't think you need to do that. First, you got to keep in mind you want to be prudent in what you're doing, because a lot of business may take quite a while to find the right business and to close a good business deal. There's a time to bring the attorney in. You definitely are going to need one, but you always got to keep in mind that these are fee meter people. You know,
yeah.
I call these folks fee meter people because as soon as you start talking to them, they turn on that fee meter. And, boy, that can run up the bills really fast.
And the ones that I know that I have the most respect for will tell you that it's not a good idea for the attorney to make the first pitch or to be too early on, because they'll say, when you get me involved as your attorney, then you're going to get an attorney involved on the other side.
That's right.
And the more you got attorneys talking to each other, the more the deal is liable to go south. It's going to go that kind of a situation is a deal killer.
You got it. You know, my first law of the business buying and selling jungle is lawyers are deal killers.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to bring them in after you've got some general meeting of the mind with the business owner. You've identified a business that is for sale, however you've approached it. That business is for sale. It's a business you think that you would like to buy, that you think that you have the financial wherewithal to purchase, and you have the knowledge to run it. And once you get all of that together and you've had some discussions and you're very serious, that's the time to start to bring together your team that you're going to need
mm-hmm.
to buy that business. Not only the attorney, but a good accountant mm-hmm. as well.
Let's talk for a few minutes about the letter of intent itself. Now, we've moved into we've kind of established for sure that the seller is in fact interested in selling the business, and we've had several visits. We've talked about some things, and at what point in time do you write the letter of intent?
Well, that's when you're pretty sure that that you like what you've seen of the business. You know you've got to see more. You know you're going to have to start pulling together your sources of financing, whether it's through the seller themselves. Or through an SBA loan or some other source of funds. You're going to have to be doing that. You're going to have to be bringing in your attorney and accountant. That's the point where you say, okay, I'm very serious about your business, but there's still a lot of open issues, a lot of open questions I need to have answered. What I'd like for you to do, Mr. Seller, is to basically take your business off the market if it's on the market, put it in limbo for a period of time, let's say 90 days.
Forsake all other offers.
Right, forsake all other offers while I make the decision. And here's a token deposit to bind my seriousness of my point of view.
I want to talk about that deposit when we come back, folks. It's 50 after the hour. We got a little bit more to talk about on the non-binding letter of intent. Please stay with us. Our special guest is our good friend Russell Brown. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend, Russell Brown, the author of Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, and also his other book is called Preparing Your Business for Sale. He also has several reports that you can find on his website. Russell, give us your website one more time.
www.businessbookpress.com.
All right, thanks, Russ. I want to do something first, and that is talk about this token deposit that you mentioned a minute ago. And if we have time, I want to go back just a little bit from that after that. But you mentioned token deposit the last time. How firmly, how strongly do you feel about the importance of a token deposit with the letter of intent?
Well, I think you absolutely need a deposit because in the legal world, you know, something doesn't become a binding contract unless there's consideration involved.
Mm-hmm.
Consideration is usually money. So you're putting money with this in some form to make it a legally binding agreement. But it really is legally binding only in the sense that the seller is agreeing to basically take their business off the market for the period of time which you begin your due diligence process and your evaluation process of that company. When I say a token deposit, it's not a significant amount of money because you're really not committing to buy the business at that point.
What are we talking about, $500, $1,000?
Well, again, it depends on the size of the company. If it's a $10 million company, you know, it's one thing. And if it's a, you know, a $500,000 company, you might be talking, you know, $1,000 or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, a couple. Or it could be, you know, several. It depends on the broker involved, the seller is. But it really doesn't matter the level because the deposit must be returned if the buyer doesn't proceed.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, if the buyer doesn't at this point have enough information to make any kind of a commitment to proceed, and they really shouldn't be putting down any non-refundable deposit at that point.
Right.
Now, the seller may ask for it, by the way. The seller may say, hey, for me taking the business off the market,
right,
I want a non-refundable deposit of $5,000.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to cost you.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, one of the things, though, I think that the purchaser, the prospective purchaser, is more at risk than the seller is, because the purchaser is the one who's really spending the bucks to look into this, and I almost feel like that the deposit needs to come the other way, although it never does.
Well, of course not. And of course,
but do you see my point?
Absolutely. And of course, we're taking this from the perspective of a buyer purchasing a business, as if you and I are consulting with the buyer. Now, if we switch hats and we're consulting with the seller, I'm going to tell the seller, do your best to get a non-refundable deposit because that will really show the seriousness and intent of that business buyer. We don't want someone just kicking the tires and poking.
That separates the men from the boys, doesn't it?
That sure does. That certainly does. But we're taking this from the perspective of the buyer now. And in most cases that I've seen, a small deposit is accepted, a very minor deposit, you know, a percent or two of the what you might expect the purchase price to be. But keep in mind, you don't even know what the purchase price is at this point.
Right.
You haven't done the valuation on the business
yet. Yeah, exactly. Russ, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. I want to invite you back in a couple of weeks. And the next time you come back, I want to go into more detail on the letter of intent, what it actually looks like, what it includes. I think that's a very important step.
Great. All right. We'll dissect it, take it apart, and we'll talk with everybody about what to do.
Thanks, Russ. Good job. See you next time.
All right. Thank you.
See you later. Russell Brown, folks. He's a great friend. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. Tim Berry.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.